Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. God is always good. No matter what the circumstances or situation, God is always, always good. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look there with me. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. I'll be reading verse 14 down to verse 21. The theme of the day is celebrating 28 years of God's love. 28 years of God's loving us. God, His love for us has given us the opportunities that we've had to love Him. And I believe that's what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth when he writes chapter 5, starting in verse 14. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh." Because that's his life here, was he was God living in the flesh. And so that's why he is no longer in the flesh. He's always been God. Amen. I want you to understand what Paul is writing here. He's always been God. He was God in the flesh. But after he died, resurrected, amen, we know him as God, the eternal God, the Son, our Savior, our Lord, he who sits on the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And so because of that, he writes, "Yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord God, for loving us. As you had Paul write your word to Corinth, I know that you had it for us here at Lighthouse to know of your love. Because of your love, loving us, how that as we love you, we will live according to your will and your way. I pray, God, that you would just once again help each one here to sense your presence in this place. I pray, God, that we would see you work as only you can work in each and everyone's heart and mind. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For the love of Christ constraineth us. His love for us and our love for Him constrains or compels us, is what He's saying. It compels us. The love that He had for us in coming and laying His life down on Calvary's cross, proving that He loved us, proving there was a need for Him to pay a sin debt that we owed and could not pay. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Because we have a penalty that we have to pay for sin. And Jesus paid our sin debt. He paid that penalty for our sin. And so because of that, there's no doubt that He loved us. And our love for Him ought to compel us to do what Paul writes to the believers of Corinth to do, and that is to live for Him, verse 15. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. When you understand that you have an opportunity to serve and live for an almighty Creator God, when you understand that you have the opportunity to have the power of God to be able to accomplish the things that God would have you to accomplish, you will see it as a privilege and an honor. These last 28 years, it's been a privilege and it has been an honor to represent the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And then verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. Why live in the past when you have the opportunity to live in the future? Why live in the flesh when you have an opportunity to live in the Spirit? Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors. I love that. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For the love of Christ is the reason for the existence of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Should not be any question about that. It was the love of Christ that led to the establishment, to the birth of this New Testament Baptist Church. And can I tell you again that it is an honor and a privilege to have served Him in this church as a pastor for the last 28 years. Doesn't seem, but just yesterday that I was in my office in that upper room, the place where we started the church, and just bowing on my face before the Lord, just praying for His power and His will to be done. To enable me, a young man, to pastor His church and His people. It began, I was saved when I was 8 years old, and I was in and out of church in the Southern Baptist Church through most of my teen years, and God continued to work in me, and I'm so thankful that He loved me and He watched over me and kept me eligible for the ministry. But then it was that when I was 22 years of age in February of 1979, right after the death of my father, God worked through that to reach this young man. I'm not vain enough to believe that that's the only reason that God called my father home at such a young age. He's only 59 years old, and that's getting younger all the time. I'm 57, so that's just 2 years. That doesn't seem possible, but God did work many things through that. But one of the things that He did accomplish in glorifying Himself through my father's death, precious in the sight of God, is the death of the saints. It means it's not going to take place without God being glorified through it. And God worked that in my life. And at the age of 22, I remember just surrendering my life to God's will, whatever that will would be. I started Bible college just so I could get a better understanding of the Word of God. I wanted to learn all that there was to learn. And that very same year, in August of 1979, after I had joined an independent fundamental Baptist church and was really starting to grow in the Lord, during that time, God introduced me to my wife. And in August of that very same year, 1979, we were married while in Bible college and also working as an auto body repairman. I thought that I would do that for the rest of my life. It was something that I really enjoyed and was good at. And God blessed me with the ability there. After we come home from our honeymoon, God opened the door. The church had a church split that we were attending. And God opened the door for the two of us to go into youth ministry. On the return from our honeymoon, that took place. In 1984, after 5 years in the youth ministry there at that church, the Lord led us to work for my brother, who was pastoring in Frankfort, Indiana. And we went there to Frankfort, Indiana to work as an associate for him and working with the youth and just looking to be whatever God would have me to be in that ministry. In April of 1985, we started the Lighthouse Baptist Church as a satellite church from the Frankfort Baptist Temple. We started that at 5438 East Washington Street. If you have your bulletin, it's that building right there, that upper unit there. And there was one door that led up to the upstairs, and that door was on that stair steps was almost straight up. And I remember getting all the exercise you needed just by going to church, amen, climbing those stairs. And I remember Mrs. Danner, Ruth Danner, she had to stop two or three times before she could get all the way up the stairs. But she didn't let that keep her from coming to church. And what a blessing it was to have that church. The first service that we had there in 5438 East Washington Street, we had 24 people attending that first service. And I co-pastored. There was a co-pastor beginning for the first year and a half. And then in October of 1986, the church voted me in as a sole pastor of the church. My brother had felt like it was God's will for him to pastor just the one church in Frankfort, Indiana. And there was no doubt that God had been preparing me to put me into the pastorate at that point at the Lighthouse and the sole pastor. I was 30 years old when the church called me as the sole pastor in 1986. In January of 1987, I remember it as if it was just yesterday. I knew that I was a young pastor and for the church had declined in attendance. I knew that for the church to continue, that the people would have to see God working in my life and have faith enough to be able to follow me as a pastor. And I knew that what needed to be done is what had not been done in the year and a half. We had been looking for a piece of property. We were looking for our own building that we could purchase. And I remember that week I had sent messages to all of the denominations. I didn't care what denomination it was. I sent a message. Each one of them called. Didn't have the text and the technology that we have today. I made phone calls to each one and told them that we were looking for a church building. If they had a church building that was up for sale, we would be very much interested in that. And didn't have anyone respond to me that week. And as I talked to them, it was one of those things that they just would hear and then say, "Sure, we'll call you." You know, "We'll call you, don't call us," that type of thing. And but on Saturday night, as I was in my office and praying for God to meet with us on that Sunday and praying over the membership list of the church and asking God to give us a building, about 9:30, and the phone rang. And I remember thinking, I'm in prayer. I don't know if I should get up and answer that phone. And yet something led me to go ahead and answer the phone. And I answered the phone, and it was Larry Sayers on the other end. He was the state representative for the American Baptist Association here in Indiana. And he said, "You know, I just got back into town. I've been out of town this week." I didn't even realize I'd left a message for him, but evidently I had. And he said, "I just was returning my calls in the office a little bit late." He said, I just looking, and we do have a building over at 6950 East Raymond Street, just a little brick building there that we're going to be the last service that they're going to be having in that building. The pastor that was there had a heart attack and had to retire, and we're going to move that congregation to another American Baptist Association church. And said, "Are you interested?" And I said, "We are definitely interested, and we'll get back to you on Monday, and we'll talk about the arrangements." Well, as soon as I hung up the phone, I remember thinking, God gave us this. And that Saturday night, I left and drove over to this location. And I remember that night thinking, thank you, Lord. I remember coming up and walking over here to this first original building there, laying my hands on the glass doors, and I claimed it for the Lord. And I had all the peace that God was going to give us that building and this 5 acres of ground that we have here. On Sunday morning, that next day, before anything was concrete, I announced, it shows you how young I was in the ministry, I announced to the people, the congregation, that we had a building. That God had given us a building. That Wednesday night, all that were at the church, after the church service, we got in the vans and drove over here, and there was probably 20 people, maybe 30, and we stood in front of the glass buildings. I know Tim and Linda, Ron and June, Gary, there's several of us there, and the Danners, and many of the charter members of this church can remember we held hands out in front of that glass window, and together we claimed it for Christ. On that, I had already had gotten with Brother Sayers and pretty much told him what we could give. I figured they were going to give it. We offered them $90,000 for the 5 acres and that little brick building. And that was with the bank going to loan us 75% of the monies that we would need. I talked to the bank that week as well. I had it all set up. Well, on Thursday, the bank called me and said, you know, the one banker said, I made a mistake. I didn't realize that the bank will not loan churches 75%. We can only loan you 50% of whatever the price would be. We didn't have that. Larry Sayers got back with me on Thursday. This is after Wednesday night coming over here and claiming the building. It's me already telling the congregation we had the building. Larry Sayers came back to me and said, the board has rejected your offer. And they feel like that they want to put it up for sale and see what other offers might come in for that. This is Thursday. I'd already told the church that we had the building. We'd already come over here and claimed it. So I find myself the next Saturday, 2 days afterwards. Saturday's always been a special time for me at the church. I was up in my office once again, crying out to God. Just couldn't understand why He would not give us that building, why all the things that had happened. And I remember that I was laying out on the floor, crying out to God. I remember the Lord impressed upon my heart. Now, Joshua, the children of Israel walked around Jericho 7 times before they blew the trumpet and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And God impressed in my heart to come over here and walk around this church 7 times. There was a foot of snow on the ground. It was winter time. I didn't take my shoes off, but I did come over here. And I started walking around the building. I seen the lights from Waterman's over here come on. I'm thinking, they're going to think some crazy man's out here walking around this building. The first time around, I mean, I was feeling kind of weird myself. I was freezing. The wind was blowing, foot of snow, cold. But I thought, 7 times. Walked around it a second time. Felt a little bit better about it. Walked around it a third time. Started singing even. By the 7th time around, I had peace. 7th time around, I didn't shout, didn't do anything like that. But the 7th time around, I just had a peace that God was going to give us this building, this piece of property. I called Larry Sayers up on that. I didn't tell the church that they had rejected our offer. As far as they knew on Sunday, we still had the building. I called Larry Sayers up on Monday and I said, Larry, since I talked to you last time, I found out that the bank will not give us the money that we need for the $90,000. And I said, this is what we're able to do. We'll give you $75,000 for it, $15,000 up front. You finance the other $60,000 for us. And I said, in 3 years, we'll have a balloon payment. We'll pay you so much a month, and after 3 years, the balloon payment to pay the rest off. And he said, preacher, he said, they rejected $90,000. I said, Larry, I know that. I said, but God has given me peace. And he said, I'll take it to them. He said, I doubt very seriously if they'll accept it. Hadn't put it out on the market yet. He got back with me on the next day on Tuesday, and he said, preacher, I don't know how and I don't know why, but they have agreed to sell you this building and this ground for $75,000 to finance it and have a balloon payment. He said they did offer one other thing, said that you, if you would come underneath the umbrella of the American Baptist Association, we'll give you the building. And I didn't want to offend him, but I said, Larry, we began as an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I believe that's what God would have us to remain, as an independent fundamental Baptist church. Before any paperwork was signed, before anything was in writing, we moved in. After he said that they accepted that, before anything was done, that next Sunday, we started having church at this location. God works miracles. God's able to do all things. In 1988, the very next year, we didn't have any money, but the church had been growing. We outgrew that building within just a few months, actually. Everything over there, we had the offices and the nursery and the kitchen, and everything was in that little bitty building over there. If you go to the restroom over there, I mean, everyone could hear you in the restrooms over there. And it was unreal. 1988, we built our first addition the very next year. Had very little money, but a lot of willing workers. People ready and willing to do whatever needed to be done. I remember that God started sending those that we needed. I remember that on a praise night service, we was praising the Lord, and as we do, and having testimonies and different things, and two men walked in the back, and I could tell they were somewhat troubled. And they sit through the service, and at the service, they come forward and rededicated. One, they both rededicated their life, and afterwards I got talking to them, and they had their own construction company. Coincidence? I don't think so. And through the Sears, and Doris is still here. Amen. Praise the Lord for that all these years. Many of you remember AJ. Amen. AJ was one of the greatest ameners the church has ever known. He's just... So they was helping us to get started, and God sent us plumbers. God sent us electricians. 1990, the second edition, was the office and half the gymnasium. And once again, God just kept sending us those that we needed to help lead us in building the buildings that we built. Every 2 years, we were in another building project. That first one, you build out a desire. Once you go into a building project, you never build out a desire again. You build out of necessity. And we just seemed to be in one building project after another building project. 1992, the third edition, the Sunday school wing off the gymnasium was built. In 1994, God led us to build this new sanctuary. It was supposed to be a 700-seat sanctuary when it would have been finished with the balcony and the choir and all that. the building, we had done all the building ourselves up to that point, and we hired a contractor to build this building, and they went bankrupt and almost bankrupt us, and so our men had to come in and finish it up. I remember we was going to have services on that Sunday, and Friday we was all here working in this auditorium, and Brother Merv, our first youth pastor, and myself, at 2 o'clock Saturday morning, we were painting the brown on all of those metal trim pieces. We were all the way to the top up there. If you look real closely, you'll see Merv had etched his name in that plate right there. So, Merv, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to put my name up here. And so his name is still up there. I don't, as far as I know, no one has been up there to paint over it. So it's still there. It's still there. That was at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone was here doing what needed to be done and working together as a church family. 2 years later, we remodeled the old sanctuary. 2 years later, we extended the gym and the Sunday school. 2 years later, we added the balcony. In 2000, we added the balcony to be able to accommodate the growth to continue to serve the Lord. 2001, we reproduced ourselves in Lebanon. Brother Merv and Dawn and some of the other families of the church went to Lebanon because of the love of Christ. The willingness to do whatever God would call them to do. To start a Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lebanon. An area that where the Frankfort Baptist Church had been, established this church. And now that church was no more, and we're back in that area with a satellite church. And that church is still going strong. And what a blessing it is to hear how God is working there. In 2002, we ordained two missionaries sent out of the church, the Ferrans and the Lindsays. 2004, we added another Sunday school building on the north side. 2005 and 2006, we started a school ministry. We built the hallway and the four-year extension, the hallway to connect the auditorium to the gymnasium. And it's never been the same since. Now you lose people, amen? You start trying to find them before you know it, you're just walking in circles. And you turn about the same time they turn. Then you walk in circles the other way. And so, unless there's somebody there to stop them and say, just wait, they're coming. But it's a blessing as we had we added that hallway and the four-year extension. 2007, we set out another 10-year associate to pastor in Arkansas, Adam and Susan Longo. Sent out James and Britton Johnson to pastor in Muncie, Indiana. Brought in Jeremiah and Christy Hightower to work in the music. 2008, we sent out another 10-year associate, Doug and Megan Keppel, to pastor in Parker City, Indiana. Brought in Aaron and Becky Connor from the intern to the youth. Brought in Andy and Sheree Folger to intern at that time. 2011, we moved Andy into main associate position. Moved Tad to co-path, to be a co-youth pastor. Brought in Buddy and Hallie to work as interns in the church. 2012 and 2013, you know, there's always tough decisions that need to be made in the church as we go forward. Realize we needed to rethink some things and get back on target. And we changed some things in our bus ministry so we could start discipling young people instead of just going for numbers. Changed some things in our Sunday school ministry to be able to be more of what the children would need in a church. And working together in the bus ministry, the Sunday school, and the junior church, we sent another associate, Tad and Sandy LaGrosse, to work with Adam and Susan in Arkansas. Made some tough decisions, but I believe that they were decisions that God would have us to make. God's love and grace and mercy has sustained us from the very beginning. And I believe the Lighthouse Baptist Church is positioned today to accomplish even greater things than what we've ever accomplished before. the Lord tarries His coming for the church, I believe that there, our best years are still ahead. I really do. I believe our toughest years are still ahead. But God's presence, for the love of Christ, His love for us, and our love for Him, constraineth us that we'd be willing, no matter what the cost, to live for Him and to be the ambassadors that God would have us to be. As a Lighthouse Baptist Church, I trust that every member feels honored and sees it a privilege to be able to be called an ambassador for Christ. And together, I know that God has some exciting things ahead for us as we continue to look to Him and to serve Him as He would have us to serve. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a blessing to go over how God has worked in and through this church over these last 28 years. It's a blessing to see how God has added to this church the different families that we have now, which make up this body that we have now, a body that is prepared, ready and willing to advance the calls of Christ. If you're here this afternoon, don't know of the love of Christ, let me encourage you. Come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and share with you what Christ has done for you and what is offered because of His love, eternal life, a gift of everlasting life. And if you're a member of this church, saved and baptized, can I encourage you to see and be constrained by the love of God, to see it a privilege to be able to serve Him. And together, let's accomplish even greater things. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for loving us. Thank You for just the time we've had just to think about the love of Christ, to think about how You've loved us and how we love You, and what has taken place in this Lighthouse Baptist Church over the last 28 years, and to bring us to where we're at today. God, our dependency is still upon You. I pray that You would just work in our midst, continue to work in and through this church to accomplish Your will. Bless in this invitation now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.